It's a beautiful day in London. I'm at the Rebecca Hossack Gallery in Conway Street in London's Fitzrovia, and I'm here to meet a Dutch artist who lives in London. She has an MA in Fine Art from London City and Guild School. She's also trained in France. She is Barbara Hoogewegen, and her show is called Gorgeous. Oh my God, that is just the best name. Hi, Barbara, welcome.
Hi, Josephine. Very nice to see you here.
So why the name Gorgeous?
Well, Gorgeous was a title coined by Rebecca because I'm sharing the show with a brilliant Madrid-based artist called Maria Taroba, and she specialises in portraiture that draws from traditional portraiture from the 15th, 16th, 17th century, and she uses materials including lace and hessian and ribbons and shells.
So I think very pretty.
Very, yeah. Very pretty. And I think what Rebecca was meaning with the title Gorgeous is she was referring to the gorgeousness of those materials that Maria uses. And
your painting, sorry. And I'm here to stick up for you, Barbara. Stop being so...
Well, I was getting to my oil paint colours, which I think could be described as gorgeous because they're very intense and bright and energetic. And both Maria and I are also representing what I think is a gorgeous subject, which is women.
Fabulous. So we've got to it. It's all about women, this show.
It's all about women.
And I'm literally standing in the gallery surrounded by all these different faces, and I can't stop looking at them. The colour choices you've chosen are very kind of very lively, very springy, I'd say, actually. But then there's some that have a kind of Spanish feel. They're also quite, I mean, if you're into kind of magazines, they are quite fashion-y. Was that on purpose?
I don't think the fashion-y aspect was on purpose, although I'm enjoying the fact that it feels contemporary, because I do believe that the way in which I'm portraying women is contemporary. I'm not portraying women in the traditional art historic fashion of objectifying them as rather lifeless, expressionless, naked nudes on the sofa bed or the couch. What I'm trying to do is convey women as having huge personality, character, strength, and variety. Hence, the different expressions that convey that they have real life, rather than the sort of lifelessness of the way in which women have been portrayed in the past.
They are really beautiful and diverse as well. People of all different coloured skin, all different coloured hair, different shaped lips. I mean, I'm just looking around. Every picture has masses of personality, and they're like a snapshot of a moment in their life. Is that kind of how you saw it?
Okay, so... I work from photographs, either photographs I've taken myself or found images on the internet or historical images. And when you say that feeling of life, what I look for is a very particular gesture or expression that communicates a particular character. And Eric Fischel, a very brilliant American painter, would say that, you know, what he does and what I think I also do is look for particular gestures and expressions that can then enable the viewer to feel those exact same gestures and emotions, the gesture that can trigger an emotion in the audience.
Now, interestingly, they're not very big, are they, paintings? What size are they?
They're roughly 30 to 40 centimetres in height and diameter. They vary slightly according to the image. I think that the smaller the image, the more impact it can have. It can have more of an intimate, an intimate intensity. And there is a huge penchant and desire for big pictures. You know, the contemporary art world slightly prices things according to the size that they are. But if you look at Vermeer, and if you look at so many brilliant historical artists, Goya, and, well, I can list a long series of portrait painters, but a lot of the most beautiful works were very, very small. So I work within a scale that suits what I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to convey intensity and emotion with a sort of visceral impact. And for me, this size works really well.
Now, how long does it take you to do a painting?
So, because I tried to convey a sort of freshness and an immediacy, I plan the painting and I choose the subject very carefully, and it's months and months of research looking for exactly the right image. And then with that image in mind, I will paint for a 10-hour session and usually complete the painting in one day.
That's amazing. That's really, really interesting. Now tell me, are these all real people? Have you met them all? Or women, I should say.
These are all existing women. Some are real people in my life, and others I've found through endless searching for the exact right photograph that captures that particular expression that I think.
Do you want to talk about a picture then? Which one should we go up to?
Why don't you choose one? Which one would you
like? I like the
talk
one
about?
With the
this
girl,
red one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a girl and her whole, she has red wavy hair, and the red wavy hair is the whole of the painting and her face is in the middle.
So this painting is called On Fire, and when I set about painting it, I knew that I wanted to communicate a direct gaze, but I also wanted to really enjoy the kind of wild red hair that surrounds her face, like she's surrounded by flames of fire. And so I took huge care to kind of get the intensity of the blue eyes, and then I wanted to enjoy the fast, fresh, loose, energetic mark making of the red and orange paint around the face. And I particularly wanted that to look like it was done very quickly, to communicate an energy and a restlessness and a power that is reflected in her eyes.
She's like a female lion.
She is like a female lion. And as Shakespeare said, you know, the eyes are the window to the soul. I really feel like that applies to a lot of these paintings where, you know, a lot of the character is really kind of coming out of the eyes, and I feel the eyes.
Do you start with the eyes? Because whenever I do a picture, I know it's probably because I've never been taught, I always start with the eyes.
Well, I tend to finish with the eyes because what I hope to map, first of all, is a kind of a sort of carefully balanced orchestra of mark making. So what happens when you start a painting is, you know, you'll place some orange for the face and maybe some red for the hair, like here. And as the painting builds, the one color demands another color to balance it. So it is like a sort of orchestra of notes that balance each other. And then having kind of mapped the sort of the groundwork, which brings together the kind of colour and the liveliness of that image, then the eyes, I sort of see them as my special treat to myself, because that's the moment when it really starts to sing. And I also know exactly where to place them, because I don't want to do the work of the eyes and then find, you know, 20 minutes later that they're in the wrong place.
Yeah.
So that's the kind of fine detail that then opens up the face and releases the kind of emotion. So for me, that's a really exciting, pleasurable end.
Sounds like a really exciting journey, because you don't hang around with the painting. You know, you really, you do all the research, and it's like you're gathering it all into your kind of soul and spirit, and then it sort of pours out quickly. And is that how it feels?
So it is, I think, you know, I'm not the only artist who said it. I think Gerhard Richter talked about how you can, you know, plan everything. You have your materials ready, your idea ready, and then as you start to put the mark of paint on the canvas, you know what your outcome is in your head. But then as you start making marks and you suddenly realize that, oh, this color looks really exciting next to that color, and I might just try and place a purple next to that yellow to see if that will sing. And before you know it, the painting is taking you somewhere else. So you have an intense idea of what you want to convey, be it a joyful expression or an angry expression or a delicious redness in that On Fire painting. So yes, it is a very thrilling journey, and I slightly give myself over to the experience, despite the fact that I had an original intention. I really enjoy the fact that along the way, what happens in the process will take me to a very different outcome. But it is a very, very tight practice, and I am 100% focused, and I'm very careful not to put down the wrong mark, because one mark can completely destroy the impact of what I was hoping to achieve.
So do you stand up while you're doing it?
I stand up and move around, and yes, so I'm standing. And
do you have music on or anything?
No music, can't take any noise.
Wow.
It's sort of because it is such a concentrated practice.
Amazing. So tell me about women, because obviously figurative art, which is my favourite personally, I just think human beings are the most exciting thing on earth to paint. Women, you know, historically, because they've got fantastic shaped bodies and they're alluring and they are sexual and they're powerful. I mean, what is it about women that attracted you?
So I'll start with the fact that, you know, the portrait has dated back to, you know, 2,000 years back, when Egyptians were painting portraits of, you know, dead people on wooden board to be placed on their mummified remains in the sarcophagus, through to, you know, Rembrandt, who painted 90 self-portraits, you know, some of the etchings catching him angry, sometimes unhappy, surly, delighted, through to the Mona Lisa, who, you know, obviously has fascinated millions because of her enigmatic smile, which at the time was revolutionary because no one had ever painted a person smiling before. So suddenly a portrait was made real. You know, he was the first person to depict a woman as a real life human being. He even had people come in to keep her jolly while she was sitting for him when he painted her.
So before it just been Madonnas and
It'd
things.
Been Madonnas, yeah. And very, yeah, religious. And throughout the Renaissance, you know, women were painted only to be revered and idealized. And suddenly, with that, the introduction of that smile, suddenly the audience was able to interact with art in a very real way. So I'm talking about the continued fascination of portraiture. Why I choose women, I guess they just are more extraordinary to look at. Personally, they have lots of hair. They have beautiful coloured clothes. They have something much more lush and invigorating and varied for me personally. But that's not to say I won't paint a series of men next time around. So I've got nothing against men. It was just, you know, for me, it's all about the face.
So how much have you enjoyed this?
I've absolutely loved it. And I mean, to a point of addiction where I literally haven't been able to do anything else. And I can see myself making a lot more of these. And yes.
So were any of the people, did they say, I want you to paint me? Or did you find them, you know?
No. Well, a couple, no one's, I have had people asking me to paint them. Mm. And what is always very concerning about that is then they have expectations of what they want to look like, which can be awkward. Yes. So I tend to paint strangers, but I have a few members of family dotted about, and part of the game in the gallery show will be for my friends and family to guess who they are.
Oh. But can you tell me who your family is? Is that a member of your family?
That is,
yes,
a member of my family.
Looks literally like you again.
My cousin's extraordinary daughter, Muffy.
Yes, which I walked in and I said, I love that one. She's got pink bob.
She's got a pink hair, yeah, and fantastic eyes.
Yeah. There's some sort of, at the bottom here, they've all got headdresses on, sort of Carmen Miranda-like, haven't they?
So we were hoping to enjoy the season that we're in, which is spring. Currently there's a show on at the Conway Street Gallery called Spring. So we sort of decided to throw some flowers in to celebrate the fact that this is a really joyous, colourful season, which of course my palette speaks to.
Really like this one of the, yeah, as I say, it's sort of got a Latin American feel.
The Electric Dreams one.
Yeah.
That's what I've called it.
Yeah. So who's she and what's she doing?
So she's someone, again, that I, you know, after hours of looking for the exact right expression to add to what I'm hoping will be a sort of gallery of varied expressions.
So, very varied expressions.
So I was hoping, you know, what interests me is, you know, how we present ourselves and the expressions that we think we're conveying to the world is actually very different to how we're perceived by others. Yes. And so what I'm hoping to have here is a sort of eclectic display of all the different types of emotions and expressions that we can find on people's faces. I'm looking for an image, I'm looking for the emotion, mm-hmm. the expression, the gesture, but also a particular composition that is aesthetically pleasing to me. And of course, I'm attracted to different vibrant colors and colors that I can play with and exaggerate. So I will, if I'm trying to communicate a particular emotion, if it's a very subtle, cool, subdued emotion, I'll use a particular color palette to try.
Yes, like the second one, the second girl with the headdress.
Exactly.
Is cooler colors, isn't it?
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, she's got a much gentler sort of.
She's like a sort of fairy or something.
Separate.
Nordic fairy, I call
her. Nordic fairy expression. Yeah. So there I'm using more blues and pale kind of pastel-y colors. Mm. Whereas this woman here, who's got this very intense, confident gaze.
Almost, she's got an afro, hasn't she?
Almost challenging you.
Yes.
There I'm using very strong colours. So colour is a really useful way of
intensifying. I want to talk to you about colour, okay. About your personal relationship with colour. Because obviously it's so prevalent in your work. So how did you find colour as a kind of child, and what effect does colour have on you?
It's hard to know myself, but I grew up in the West Indies and I spent, obviously, and I do think that where you grow up, your surroundings, the light there and the colours there are incredibly vivid. It's not surprising that Chrysophyli has gone back there to paint there with Peter Doig, both of whom have a very bright colour palette. I also grew up watching the local artist, very brilliant man who inspired me, called Bosco Holder, who was a very brilliant painter. And I used to watch him paint pretty much once a week. And he had a very, very strong colour palette. So I think I may have kind of held that in my sort of like colour memory.
Yeah.
And, Mark Rothko talks about colour being the vehicle that takes us into the interior states of our emotional life and then communicates. Colour is a really good way of helping you to communicate emotion in a painting, you know, through an exaggerated use of red for anger, you know, or desire, or to be clichéd about it. But there are very subtle ways in which you can play with colour. And
what effect does it have on you personally?
Gives me huge pleasure. I mean,
like tingles on your body?
It's sort of, I guess, the pleasure I get in mixing very oily paint, because I add a lot of oil to my paint. And then I use very smooth polyester canvases, so that when I apply the paint, it's like putting butter onto a sort of piece of porcelain.
So it's very luxurious.
Very luxurious. Yeah. I want to communicate that lusciousness and communicate the texture of how delicious oil paint is. And I guess when I'm using oil and enjoying the color in the process of making a picture, it's probably the equivalent of somebody sitting on a roller coaster in terms of the experience. It gives me real thrilling pleasure.
Wow, physical.
Well, you mental, know, internal happy pleasure. Yeah, and I would never touch watercolour or pastels. I am addicted to oils.
Yeah, so what's the difference between oils and acrylic? Because I've only ever worked with acrylic.
Acrylic dries really quickly and so for me, the pleasure and the effect that I'm trying to get with oil paint is adding oil to make it that much more creamy and lush.
Isn't it?
And it's deeper effect, and it's got that kind of slimy sort of shiny effect, and you can't do that with acrylic. You can't add oil to acrylic.
Yes, it's got a dullness. Acrylic.
It's got a dullness and a dryness. Yeah. So, and I don't like paint that dries too quickly. I like being able to, you know, do the wet on wet mark making, where you've got oil paint that you've applied, you know, say at 10 in the morning, and then at sort of 12, you want to slush a bit of yellow onto the blue, and then you get this wonderful wet-on-wet mark where it's one colour is sliding above the other one, and that isn't possible with acrylic.
Wow, really interesting. So you only paint in oils, but you obviously do a drawing first.
I don't do a drawing first.
You don't?
I go straight onto canvas.
Wow.
And
that's so daring.
And that adds to the sort of excitement,
yeah,
and the urgency, mm-hmm, and the slight feeling of panic.
Yeah,
constructing it quite abstractly at first, I never quite know if it's going to come together. And then there's this lovely moment about halfway through the process where I can see that the structure's working. And I can then relax into it and start to enjoy it a little bit more.
And how does your life inspire your art? Because you live near Portobello Road, you're Dutch, you're brought up in the West Indies. What influences are there?
I think living in a city really feeds what I do, because I'm surrounded by people and I spend a lot of time, if I'm on my own, studying people's faces, and I think I've done that since I can remember, and it's probably why faces are just the thing that I love to paint more than anything else. We all know what it's like to sit on the underground and find yourself kind of lulled into the rhythm of sitting in quite a crowded tube, but then quietly, I don't know if anyone else is this, but I'm assuming we do, just studying the faces opposite. And so London, you know, allows that. You know, I'd be hopeless in the country because, you know, I don't paint cows or trees or clouds. So yeah, London is my sort of, yeah, it's my resource.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. Gorgeous is on at the Rebecca Hossack Art Gallery, Conway Street, London, from Thursday the 3rd of May until Saturday the 26th of May 2018. Thank you so much, Barbara, for coming on.
Thank you
very
much.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I just hope you'll all come and have a look.
Exactly.
And hope
because
to meet you there.
It is gorgeous. So you'll always find colour and joy on RadioGorgeous.com.